and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of January 28th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and much warmer than I am, Melissa Hansen.
Yes, you're freezing up there in all the snow, ain't you?
Yeah, the snow just started. It's been the bitter cold that's been the killer thing. This, you know, sub-zero wind chills and single-digit crap.
Eeks. I'm not missing that.
Yeah, exactly. So what has your weekend entertainment looked like?
So, I haven't done much big. I actually, speaking of warmth,
yes.
TV show that I didn't get into when it first started this season, I went and caught up with Malibu Country, which is Reba McEntire's.
Oh, and Lily Tomlin.
New show. And Lily Tomlin, which, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Lily Tomlin on TV is something special. It's not a great show. It's a pretty basic show, but the cast makes it worth watching.
Nice.
So the setup is Reba McEntire was this young aspiring country singer years ago.
Okay.
Got married, gave up her career for her husband, who became a huge country superstar. And then the whole got caught cheating and had her at the press conference and how she's going to stand by him. And then he like makes her get up on stage.
Yeah.
And then she's finally like, you know what? I'm leaving his cheating ass. And anyhow, in the divorce, she finds out, he owns a house in Malibu.
Oh.
That his party house. She never knew. So she gets it in the divorce and she takes her teenage kids and her mother, who's Lily Tomlin, and moves from, you know, Nashville to Malibu.
Okay.
So it's a fish out of water kind of series. And, Sarah Rue plays her neighbor, who's trophy wife.
Oh.
She's adorable in this. Sarah Rue, a lot of people remember from, like, Less Than Perfect.
Yep.
Things like that, when she was chunky, Sarah Rue.
Yes.
She's not, well, she wasn't really chunky. She did the whole, which one did she do? Jenny Craig? One of them.
Yeah, one of those.
So anyhow, she got cast as this trophy wife, long blonde hair, kind of ditzy, but really nice.
All right.
And then, like, if you start watching the season, all of a sudden you're like, after the first couple episodes, you're like, she's kind of chunky again. Well, all of a sudden, because she is in real life, the character's pregnant.
Oh, okay.
But on the show, she has this gay stepson who we're not really sure is gay or if he's just using that to make out with girls. Whatever. But he's on for a couple of episodes and then he kind of disappears. And I thought he was gone for good and then he showed back up. Huh. So they're still kind of finding their footing.
Okay.
With the writing and the characters and all that. But the other person that's on this, Jay Rodriguez.
Oh, from
Queer Eye.
Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, right.
Right. He plays, so Reba's now trying to break back into the music business.
And okay.
Where she's now, whatever, 40-something and over the hill and all this. He plays like the receptionist, the assistant for this music producer she wants to see. And he's like over-the-top gay and it's... There's kind of stereotypical and stuff in here, but I think it's cute and funny.
Okay.
But he is adorable in this.
Yeah.
And then Lily Tomlin, they end up making her character a pothead.
You know, I know plenty of people in Malibu, and I know plenty
now
of people
that she's
who are
in
Malibu
California.
Pothead,
she's walking down the beach, and here's your prescription, and here's a lollipop.
God.
A special lollipop. So anyhow, they end up making Lily Tomlin's character, you know, this kind of southern tough woman, like a pothead. It's an insane cast. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, with Lily and Reba and then Sarah, who's been in this business forever, and then Jay doing acting and like, it's all over the place. The writing's
The
storylines, there's nothing special about it, but those people together on screen, hysterical.
What part of Malibu are they using for the long shots?
Oh, they're just doing, it's, I don't know what section it is. It's a section of the houses on stilts, kind of.
All right.
Not the super rich.
So
that's
the southern stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that southern stuff they're using for that.
Okay.
Yeah, like a long shot thing.
Like the Two and a Half Men area just south of there.
Exactly.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing.
All right.
Anyhow, and we get to hear Reba sing every once in a while.
All right.
Not wrong with that.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I have not. It's shocked me. I have not watched any, aside from Doctor Who, I have not watched any television this season. Even the stuff I used to watch, I haven't watched anything.
Wow. Well, I'm in mourning a little bit. One more quick thing I'll talk about. Parenthood finished its season last week.
Okay.
And I'm like in mourning already.
Hey,
it looks like it's going to come back. It hasn't been signed yet. It probably will.
Okay.
But I'm just like, I missed hanging out with my friends. Oh. And it was a really great season, and we had some beautiful storylines, and the actors did some amazing work. I'm like, I don't want to wait till next fall.
Okay. Yeah, NBC's doing a lot of that stuff, this half-season thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they just ran it straight through.
Yeah, right.
You know, episode-wise, and yeah, it's done, so.
Well, it had to make room for stuff like Smash, which is starting next week. So.
Yes.
And that'll run straight through to the end of May.
Right, right.
But, well, I made it out to the theater. I was over on Friday Filibuster last week and talked briefly about it, but I saw Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained, finally. I still need to see Les Mis, but I needed to get a couple of these big films under my belt because I feel, so. Since I left California, I've been completely disconnected from that aspect of the industry where I used to go to screenings all the time and be, you know, on top of all this stuff. And now I'm totally unplugged, which is very disconcerting to me. But this is an incredible movie. I mean, for those people who liked Inglourious Basterds, which was a huge step forward for Quentin in terms of storytelling, but still had some issues. There was some tonal shifts. There was some inconsistencies in the way he was telling that story that he's got completely ironed out here, because this is one beautiful, cohesive piece of storytelling. It's almost 3 hours, but it never feels like it.
Okay, good.
The trailer set it up to be one thing, and then it turns out to be something even more powerful than... There's a lot of social commentary in here, but done in Quentin's own unique way. He pulls a Hitchcock. He shows up at one point with a really lame Australian accent. I don't know why. But Jamie Foxx does an excellent job. Christoph Waltz, the man is at the top of his game right now.
Yeah.
Everything that rolls off his tongue is completely... And Sam Jackson does the same thing in this. He plays a house slave. And it's the fascinating tale of the black house slaves versus the black, you know, plantation slaves. And it's it's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. And then, of course, you get all of the violence and the gore and the blood that Quentin is so well known for.
Yeah. But
definitely highly, highly recommended and worthy of the praise it has been receiving during awards season.
Okay, good.
But the one film that's been sneaking past everybody and running to the front of the pack, especially in the Producers Guild Awards this past weekend, the Screen Actors Guild, is Ben Affleck's Argo.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I want to stress, Ben Affleck's Argo.
Yep.
The film that did not just direct itself.
Right.
Pointing that out again to the Academy.
Now, it did have George Clooney and Grant Heslov behind it, you know, in terms of developing the story and stuff, but this was Ben, and I worked on the film, and the man is extremely committed. He's not one of these flighty directors. I mean, he sits there, and we spent an entire day shooting a scene that didn't make it into the film. I'm curious to see if it makes it into the deleted scenes on the DVD.
Yeah, that's the great thing about DVDs and Blu-rays. Yeah. You can see all that kind of stuff.
But just the meticulous way he approaches filmmaking. Not many guys can make the jump from actor, well, from writer and actor to director, but...
Right, and get better.
Like,
right. I love watching Benji on screen, honestly.
Yeah.
But he's a director. This is what he should be doing in this industry.
And he's finally getting the respect for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very curious to see how the Oscars are going to play out now after all this. But box office this past weekend, a lot of people seem to be staying home.
Yeah, it's really nothing even broke 20 million.
Wow.
Which that's been a while. But number one with 19 million, Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters.
Jeremy Renner.
Which is, I get it because it's Jeremy Renner, but other than that, I'm kind of like, really? Yeah. That's number one?
I know.
Like, I get that people want to see it, but I don't know. Anyhow, but number two is Mama.
Which we were off last week, but that took the prize for opening last week.
Yeah, that's close to 50 million total. And we talked about it a little bit the week before.
Yeah.
Silver Linings Playbook is still hanging in there.
Another movie number that is getting a hell of a lot of praise, you know, in awards season.
Yeah, for 10 million. And that's the point. It's not just hanging in there. It's
bouncing
back.
Yeah.
Because what are they calling her? J-Law
now, because of her unique personality that she's giving all these bizarre speeches. And yeah.
out, but they're not weird bizarre. They're like adorable bizarre.
Yep, right.
Like
right.
She thanked MTV for giving her Screen Actors Guild card. She did commercials for My Sweet 16.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
She did a couple commercials for My Sweet 16. It was her first union job. Got her SAG card for MTV commercials.
Well, what was mine? Mine was a commercial for the Air Force for tax season.
Yeah, it was like an IRS thing that was only shown in the military, not
That's
like
right.
on regular
yeah,
TV.
Bases. Yeah.
People get it for, it's interesting to see what people get it for because it's some wacky things. Yeah. But anyhow, so because of her, that's number three, but only with 10 million. Geojock 30, 9.8 million. Parker, 7 million.
Yeah. Well, the movie that...
A little out of nowhere.
Yeah, right. This movie 43. So mm-hmm. I saw the trailer for this before Django Unchained.
Okay.
Imagine the worst parts of all of those stupid scary movie, date movie, Meet the right. Spartans, and amplified by 10. Okay. And that's what this is. It's, you know, there's 13 directors and 13 different writers. And
right. It's just bits. It's somebody pitching a movie.
Yeah.
And like, and then this will happen, and then that'll happen. Okay, but everyone, do yourself a favor. Go read Richard Roper's review of this.
Really?
Go. It has to be 100 times funnier than the damn movie. Go read Richard Roper's review. Don't see the movie. Read his review. Trust me on this.
Well, nobody saw the movie because it only made $5 million.
Only made $5 million. The same as Django Unchained.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, the trailer was painful enough. I can't imagine sitting through 2 hours of that mess. It was just awful. It was the most insensitive. Yeah, just, yeah.
And it's huge, huge movie stars in this.
Yes. I mean, we're not talking like B-list, C-list people. We're talking A-list people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't know.
Halle
yeah.
Berry, Terrence Howard. I mean, just.
Who owed somebody what? But
exactly. That's right. Like
somebody made a deal
footage.
With the devil to get this one.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. All right, well, coming up next week, there's some interesting stuff. So this Warm Bodies, which is a zombie romantic comedy. You know, we've seen zombie everything else, right? So you had to see a zombie rom-com eventually. But it's Nicholas Holt, who we originally saw in About a Boy,
mm-hmm.
opposite Hugh Grant. And then he went to do Weatherman with Nick Cage. And he was on the TV series Skins, and mm-hmm. Nick has made a very reputable career for himself. But he's playing opposite Teresa Palmer, Dave Franco, Jane Franco's brother, mm-hmm. and John Malkovich.
Oh, yeah.
So I saw the trailer for this. It actually looks entertaining.
Yeah, well, that's more than you can say about a lot of movies, honestly.
That's true. That's true. There is some value, it seems to be, here, so I'm curious to see how that plays out. A movie called Stand Up Guys, directed by Fisher Stevens.
Yeah.
How about it? Al Pacino, Alan Arkin, Christopher Walken, and Juliana Margulies. It's about the reunion of some aging con men who want to pull off one last big heist. We've got Bullet to the Head. So we had Arnold opening in Last Stand a couple weeks ago, right?
Yes.
So now Sylvester Stallone is back with Jason Momoa and Christian Slater.
Okay.
In this Walter Hill adaptation of a French graphic novel about a New Orleans hitman.
Sure.
Uh-huh. And then there's a whole bunch of handful of low-budget horror thrillers, House Hunting, Girls Against Boys, and The Haunting in Connecticut 2.
Two, okay.
Uh-huh.
Connecticut need a little bit more ghosts. Okay.
If you are not going to the box office, considering the big game, since we're not allowed to say Super Bowl, is on this next weekend. Yeah,
you have to pay royalties now. Oh. It's coming out of your pocket.
All right. If you want to stay home and watch what's coming to DVD and Blu-ray, we've got some interesting stuff. If you go over to DVDverdict.com and the upcoming releases tab for January 29th, we've got Hotel Transylvania, which I've said is the best Adam Sandler movie in 10 or 15 years, basically because you don't know it's Adam Sandler and it's just his voice.
Exactly. I was going to say, because it's only his voice.
Right. Downton Abbey, Season 3. Have you seen Season 3 yet?
No.
Okay. So that's coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, courtesy of PBS. Rebecca Hall does a horror movie. Rebecca Hall, who you might know from Woody Allen's Vicky Cristina Barcelona. Very talented actress. It's called The Awakening. We've got the Die Hard Blu-ray collection and a stupid direct-to-DVD Bruce Willis movie called Cold Light of Day. My, how his career has started to fall apart. Or become a parody of itself, I should say.
Yeah, there's probably more.
Yeah, he's still making money. It's just, yeah.
He's still Bruce Willis. Yeah, and, sorry, can do no wrong.
And Bruce Willis, the cartoon character of Bruce Willis, or the caricature of Bruce Willis.
Yeah, I don't care. I'll take him anyway.
Paranormal Activity 4, 7 Psychopaths, with, I'm curious to see, it's Sam Rockwell and Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Netflix this week over for streaming media, it's like 80s Palooza. So we've got The Woman in Red, which is Gene Wilder and Kelly LeBrock, Ferris Bueller, Top Gun, Naked Gun, Trading Places, Michael J. Fox's The Secret of My Success, John Hughes' Career Opportunities, which is a sweet little movie with Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, it's not great, but it's,
no.
Yeah, better than you would think for, yeah. Was shot in like Walmart or whatever.
Right. Right.
Entirely takes place in like a crappy store.
But in Shermer, Illinois, it's set where all of the rest of the films are set. And then Scrooged, Bill Murray's Scrooged, which I think they missed the Christmas target by a couple months.
Yeah, that's a little odd.
Yeah. Over at Hulu, we've got the very first Star Wars spoof called Hardware Wars, which I saw in a high school gym, I think, in 1977, 78. Nice. I remember on a 16mm film, somebody brought this in, and it was like, this is the first spoof of Star Wars. It was brilliant. Of course, now it's probably going to look like ridiculous. But Chevy Chase's Modern Problems, which I think was him in a nuclear accident, and he, like, swallowed toxic waste or something and got all these superpowers. Really stupid. Classic 1940s films, The Jackie Robinson Story, If I'm Lucky, with Carmen Miranda and Perry Como.
Nice.
I know. Nobody hears Perry Como anymore. And Nob Hill, with Joan Bennett and George Raft. And then, for those of you who are still into boy bands, there's a documentary for the band One Direction.
Okay.
So that's all I've got.
Okay. Well, I just want to mention a new site I found, thanks to my friend Chia on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned
it's called Can I Stream It?
Yep.
So it's canistream.it.
That IT.
And you type in a TV show or a movie, and it tells you where to find it.
Very
if it's
cool.
On YouTube or Hulu or Netflix or Amazon or anything else.
Yep.
So instead of having to go to all the different sites and check, if you can find it, you type it in here, and it tells you what it's on.
Very nice.
So anyhow, I just found that, and I was really liking it. So I just wanted to point that out when we're talking streaming.
Yeah.
To everybody out there.
Very cool.
So, but on TV this week, Tuesday on A&E, there's a new reality show called Southie Rules.
Uh-oh.
Now, if the Wahlberg brothers are not in this making a cameo, I'm not bothered seeing it. That's all I have to say.
Right.
Wednesday night. For those of us that enjoy the real fun part of the Super Bowl, on CBS, they have Super Bowl's greatest commercials. So, and then Thursday, 30 Rock finale
okay.
on NBC. But then it's also the premiere of Do Not Harm, which is their new drama, which it's a Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing. So that's on Friday on NBC, the 44th NAACP Image Awards. Yeah. Are on. And then Sunday, yes, the big game.
Yes.
And then that's actually followed by Jen Lee Miller and Lucy Liu's Elementary.
Oh, so that gets their
special episode of that. That's the lucky one this year that gets the after the game spot.
Interesting.
So those of you that haven't watched it yet, you know, you can stick around and see if you like it or not.
Yeah.
And those of you that are fans of it, but not football, yeah, you're just going to have somebody let you know when the game's over.
Yeah, what is it? They have the lingerie bowl and the puppy bowl. And
they have all kinds of stuff, like
counter-programming
against it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but this week, music. Andrea Bocelli has a new album, Passione. That's out. And then Tegan and Sarah's latest called Heartthrob.
Okay.
And then Justin Bieber.
Oh, jeez.
Believe Acoustic. So it's this whole Believe album, just, you know, acoustic.
All right.
So, but very cool. It's actually a CD DVD. It's called Get Up. Yeah. And it's Ben Harper's latest, but he has Charlie Musselwhite, who's a famous harmonica player.
Yes, he is. I had the opportunity to see him in person.
Yeah, so I knew you'd appreciate that, but yep. I thought I'd like fill in some more information for other people. Yep. But that's out this week. Emmy Rossum.
Yeah.
Has an album.
Shut up.
Called Sentimental Journey.
I didn't even know she was a singer.
I guess she is. So, and a couple of blasts in the past. Kris Kristofferson has a new album.
Oh my God.
Called Feeling Mortal. And then it's, okay, ready?
Yeah.
It's the 30th anniversary collection.
Uh-oh.
So a new release of Texas Flood, Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble.
Oh, my God.
30 years.
And he's been the winning for a long
that's
time.
That's been remastered, and they've added, you know, some other recordings to it. And,
yeah.
And all that. And then soundtrack, The Mystery of Edwin Drood.
Yeah.
The new Broadway cast recording of that, 2003 Broadway cast recording. Okay, books. You want to say it so I don't have to say it again this week?
James Patterson.
Yeah, along with Mark Sullivan, Private Berlin. It came out in hardcover last week, but it's out in softcover.
Okay.
Now, so that's one. Yeah, the Private series, which is one of his newer series about a private detective agency. And it started with L.A., but now I just read London, and they're, you know, setting them all over the world. How exciting. Okay. Someone who does from writes all the time to someone who hasn't written in a while, Dave Barry.
Oh.
Has a new novel out called Insane City. Hmm. Remembering Whitney, from my story of love, loss, and the night the music stopped, by Sissy Houston. It's her mother.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm just tired of all of the Whitney Houston tributes. Hulu has a bunch of Whitney Houston stuff this week too that I didn't bother.
So this will be a little different take on stuff.
All right.
So, anyhow, we're fans of either of them.
Yeah.
The Future, Six Drivers of Global Change by Al Gore.
Oh.
And now that he's made like $1 billion or whatever off Al Jazeera.
Right, exactly.
He'll make more money with a book.
Oof.
Another memoir here, Spacewalker, My Journey in Space and Faith as NASA's Record-Setting Frequent Flyer. Jerry Ross.
See, I missed that. I never saw that space jump thing that he did. So
No.
What?
No, this is astronaut Jerry Ross.
Oh, he's not the guy that did the...
He has the most time in space, the most flights out of space.
Oh, okay.
In NASA history.
All right.
Yep. So, and then I am not going to be embarrassed to admit I would actually read this next book.
Uh-oh.
The Soul of It All, My Music, My Life by Michael Bolton.
Oh, well, he has had an interesting life.
He has. So, there.
Yep.
If somebody wants to give me a gift, you can give me that and I'll read it.
Wasn't he partnered with Nicolette Sheridan for a while?
Yeah, they've been on and off a couple times, I think.
There's a story right in and of itself.
Yep.
Yeesh.
Well, in theater,
yes.
Movie fans may be interested in this story. Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart, the original X-Men,
yes,
are teaming up in two plays coming to Broadway this
really?
Month. How cool is that? So they're redoing Waiting for Godot.
Oh, wow.
Samuel Beckett's play. They co-starred in a West End production of it in 2009.
Huh.
Well, they're bringing it to Broadway this fall, but they're also starring in No Man's Land together, Harold Pinter's play.
Oh, wow.
And that should actually, this summer, they're planning an out-of-town engagement, but that hasn't been finalized.
All right.
Before they bring that to Broadway.
Damn.
But yeah, so this fall, man, all you X-Men fans.
Head to New York.
Will want to be heading to Broadway.
Yep.
So.
Shoosh.
Yes.
Well, I think the biggest news that came out of Hollywood this past week, which kind of shocked everybody, was J.J. Abrams has signed on to direct Star Wars Episode 7.
Yeah, Big Fat Liar Pants.
No doubt.
What is that? How much did he deny that?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Wow.
Yeah, and Affleck was the other one who was supposedly up for it, but I cannot see Ben directing a Star Wars film. That's just completely out of his wheelhouse.
Yeah, and just, too big, too fast.
Yeah.
But, and I can totally see JJ directing it.
Oh my God, yes.
But that's the problem.
Yeah.
I can totally see JJ directing it.
Yeah. Now, if anybody was going to take this incredibly seriously and break all the rules and not take the easy way out, it's him.
I agree. I don't think it's a horrible choice. I just think it's a very conventional choice at this point.
Extremely conventional. But I think Disney needed some kind of guarantee that this was going to be the movie that everybody is expecting it to be. Because the pressure
is huge. Wait. That's not true. Because everybody is expecting it to be crap.
I should say all the Star Wars fans and all the studio executives whose paychecks
movie wanted to be.
Yeah.
Not expect it to be.
Well, because, all right, I started watching the first three films with my nieces and nephews, right? So they're 9, 7, and 5. So we watched the original three Star Wars. I should say my brother watched them with him, and I started watching the latest trilogy. And it's worse. I know. It's even worse than I remember.
Why did he get the good stuff? Just because of his kids.
It was just my schedule. I wasn't around for them to watch this, but we watched Phantom Menace the other night, and I was just like, oh, this is so painful. Oh, my God. And the first 20 minutes is all about trade restrictions and how how money is the thing that's causing all the... And these kids are like, what are they talking about? I don't get it. And I'm like, I don't get it either. And, ugh. So JJ has his work cut out for him. But, I mean, the people that he surrounds himself with are the same people that he's worked with on Alias. You know, Brian Burke, the same people he's worked with on Lost.
I just want to know who Greg Grunberg is going to play.
Well, that's a very good point, because Greg's going to be in it.
And I hope he's not the pilot that gets killed off in, the second scene.
And we know nothing about this story at this point. We know it picks up a couple decades after the end of Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
That's all that we know. So we don't know if it's Luke and, there's speculation that it's Luke and Leia and Han's kids that are going to be the primary characters in this. Who knows? So, but the other thing is he's got his work cut out because there's a release date already set for the summer of 2015. So you're working backwards from a date,
right.
And he's still trying to finish up Star Trek.
And that's what I'm saying. He's got to finish Star Trek and do all the publicity and everything for that.
Oh, Jesus.
And then move into, again, to me, a similar project.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, he's going to have to make it completely different because it's not going to be able to look like...
Yeah, I do have faith he can do it. I just would love to see what somebody, like Affleck, like somebody totally out there could do.
That's true. Well, we'll see. We'll see. But, there's other people who were involved. Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote Empire Strikes Back, is involved as a consultant on this project. So Disney is not going to make any egregious missteps when it comes to putting this thing together. They're going to spend as much money as they can to make sure that they're going to get the quality project and make us forget about the first three films.
Okay.
All right. Some weird illness news. Barbara Walters fell at an ambassadorial dinner the other night and hit her head, and then she was hospitalized. And it turns out she's got chicken pox now.
Right.
Which is shingles, which can be very deadly for a woman her age.
I don't know if it's actually, the shingles later. She never had chicken pox as a kid.
Okay. But it's the same virus.
It's the same virus. Yeah. It just manifests two different ways.
Right.
So
hopefully she'll bounce back from this because she's no spring chicken at this point. She's got to be well into her 70s, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
At least.
Burt Reynolds is also in the hospital with a terrible case of flu, and his health has not been the best over the past 10 years. So, and neither has his plastic surgery. In other news, Lindsay Lohan has turned down Dancing with the Stars. Why they were going after that train wreck, I don't know.
Well, you just answered your own question with the same sentence.
But did you hear about this thing?
Train wreck. People watch train wrecks.
So she hired this new lawyer in New York.
Oh, she's just a fucking idiot.
To get out of these, whatever. I think it was the PCH thing where she ran into the back of the truck with her Porsche.
Right. But then she was arrested for assault in New York.
Okay. So
she's in New York now. So she hired this New York lawyer who sent Sean Holly, her LA lawyer, a letter saying, oh, I'm representing her now, except he can't represent her in California.
Right.
So she's just an idiot, because I'm sorry. The fact that she hasn't spent the past 5 years in jail is all due to Sean Holly.
Oh, my God.
And so I guess she's trying to get Sean Holly back, and she's like, bitch, I am so done with you.
Yeah.
Because she owes her all this money. Like,
yeah,
why
she hasn't
would
paid her a cent.
You representing her? She's not paying the bills.
Yep.
Yeah. Whatever. Whatever happens to that girl from here on out, it's entirely her own fault, and I do not care.
Yeah, that whole family is just a reality series waiting to happen. And then Charlie Brown, the voice of Charlie Brown, going all the way back to the original Christmas special, was mm-hmm. arrested.
So, like, the Charlie Brown.
The original voice of Charlie Brown was arrested for stalking and threatening the life of his girlfriend and her past plastic surgeon this past week. You know, okay. Saying things like, I'm coming for you and I'm going to kill you.
Oh, my.
Try and talk your way out of this. So he faces 9 years in prison if convicted. He doesn't sound incredibly stable. But, hey, thank God Charles Schultz isn't around to deal with this stuff.
Ay, ay, ay.
So, but that's all I've got. It was a de-evolution of news this week, so I'm going to mm-hmm. stop there.
Yeah. Well, you've heard of this whole swatting thing going on in L.A.
No.
It happened to Biebs. It happened to a few different people. What? Some wacko out there thinks it's really hysterically funny to call the police and say, oh, they're shooting and I'm stuck in this house and somebody killed somebody and give them the address of a famous person.
Oh, no.
So the SWAT, it's called swatting. The SWAT team goes in.
Oh, my God.
Right? This has happened to a few celebrities in the past, like, year. It's become a thing. Well, the latest was Kardashians.
Oh,
well, the Jenner house out there. They got a police got a call that like someone had been shot in the house and whatever.
Oh my God.
And so SWAT team rushes in and there's poor like Chris and Bruce standing there and carrying up a shotgun. Oh, it's funny, but it's, can you imagine the resources that go into sending a SWAT team in?
No. Number one, you know how quickly
someone with a gun is in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just dangerous and it's expensive. And, you know, the SWAT team's busy if there's an actual emergency.
Well, and you know, because we saw a motorcycle accident happen.
Oh, God.
And the fire department is literally a quarter of a mile down the street, right? And it took, what, 10 minutes for them to get there?
Ever. This poor guy, motorcycle got, like, hit by a car, flipped off his bike, is laying in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
And it took forever. Now, I'm sure it didn't take that long for them to get to the Kardashian house. I can tell you that.
But still, I mean, unbelievable.
No, it really is a very serious problem. Yeah. And it sounds funny afterwards, but it's a really serious problem.
Yeah.
And they're doing it really regular. It's become a real thing out in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But to me, the best part is, so we have photographic evidence of this. Because all the police had their freaking pictures taken with Bruce Jenner while they're there.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, and on that bombshell, we are going to leave you this week. But we will be back next week, barring any magnificent snowstorms, because it's just started snowing here now. So, in any case, please feel free to continue to check out DVD Verdict for all of our reviews. And until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
If it means this life without you, baby, I swear I'll spend it on my knees. Excuse me, but is this really goodbye?